So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, starting with text number 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kavi Kalpo Nipunnadrik Chitrapriya Katha Samaha Lokasya Kurvataha Karma Sheshe Havikshitapi Ma Kavi Kalpo Nipunadrik Chitra Priya Katha Sama Lokasya kurvata karma Sheshitad vikshita piva Kavi kalpo nipunnadrik Chitra priya kata sama Lokasya kurvata karma Sheshitad vikshita piva Kavi kalpo nipunnadrik Chitra priya katha sama Lokasya kurvata karma Sheshitad vikshita piva Paha expert Nipunnadrik intelligent Chitrapriya kataha, able to speak palatable words that are pleasing to the heart. Samaha, equipoised, lokasya, of the people in general. Kurvataha, engaged in. Karma, fruitive activities. Sheshe, you lie down. Tadvikshita, seeing them all. Api, although. Ma, either. Translation, Your Honor appears learned, expert, intelligent in every respect. You can speak very well, saying things that are pleasing to the heart. You see the people in general engaged in fruitive activities, yet you are lying down here, inactive. Translation, please repeat. Your Honor appears learned,
Your Honor appears learned
expert and intelligent,
expert and intelligent
in every way. You can speak very well,
saying things
that are pleasing to the heart. You see that the people in general are engaged in fruitive activities, yet you are lying here inactive. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj studied the bodily features of the saintly person and through the saint's physiognomy, Prahlad could understand that he was intelligent and expert, although he was lying down and not doing anything. Prahlad was naturally inquisitive about why he was lying there inactive. Kavi kalpo nitpunnadrik chitra priya katha sama lokasya kurvata karma sheshe tad vikshita piva. Your honor appears learned, expert, and intelligent in every way. You can speak very well, saying things that are pleasing to the heart. You should see that people in general engaged in fruitive activities, yet you are lying here inactive. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakaramayam Dadati Svaparandikam Adadanas Trinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupapadam Bhujo Dulisyam Janmadanmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut. But my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So Prabhupada explains, Prahlad Maharaj, being a Mahajan, he's very expert to see the situation of this person lying down like an ajgar, python. Because sometimes we see many people lying on the ground, just like we read in the Leelamrit. Prabhupada also had to enter when he was living on the Bowery. There was many people lying on the ground, sometimes he'd have to step over them. But we can see, Prabhupada never described them with these glowing words. Kavi, very learned, nipunnadrik, expert. They were simply drunk. But Prahlad Maharaj, see this person, he appears to be very intelligent, he appears to be very learned, he speaks very sweet words, because devotee, he speaks very sweet words. These people that Prabhupada was meeting on his way into the apartment building, they were not speaking sweet words. Like that they were speaking. So we can tell someone's mentality just by his mannerisms, by his physiognomy. So Prahlad Maharaj can understand this is a very great learned person, but he's lying here inactive even though he's seeing everyone else is engaged in fruitive activities. So naturally Prahlad Maharaj is very inquisitive. So it's not such a big purport. So we'll go on to the next verse. Srinara uvacha sa itam naitya patina pari pristo mahamuni smanyamanas tam abhyat bhyaha tadvag amrita yantrita. Narad Muni continued, when the saintly person was thus questioned by Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the daityas, he was captivated by his shower of nectarine words, and he replied to the inquisitiveness of Prahlad Maharaj with a smiling face. So Prahlad Maharaj is also speaking very sweet words. So when we speak sweet words to a saintly person, then he's encouraged to reveal spiritual science. So we should never approach saintly person in challenging mood. That Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita. But in a submissive mood. So Prahlad is hearing Prahlad's sweet words. Now he's very anxious to reply. So he says, Sri Brahmana Uvacha Vededam Asura Shrestha Bhavan Navyarya Samata to paramayor nrinam padanyadhyatma chakshusha. Asura Shrestha, he's calling Prahlad Maharaj the best of the asuras. Generally we would think this would be, to call someone asura, not very pleasing, but anyway, Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of daityas. But he's the best of the daityas because he became a Vaishnava. The saintly Brahman has said, "O best of the asuras, Prahlad Maharaj, who are recognized by advanced and civilized men." Prahlad is best of the asuras because he's recognized by civilized men and advanced sages. He's one of the 12 Mahajans. "You are aware of the different stages of life because your inherent transcendental eyes with which you can see a man's character and thus know clearly the results of acceptance and rejection of things as they are." So he's telling Prahlad, you know everything. Still, for the benefit of people in general, Prahlad is asking all of these questions. So Prabhupada says in the purport, "A pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj can understand the minds of others because of his pure vision and devotional service." A devotee like Prahlad Maharaj can study another man's character without difficulty. So if one advances in devotional service, then he's able to, simply by seeing a person, generally by seeing a person we cannot, in general we cannot tell so many things. Just like Judd Barrett, from external view, he appeared to be a madman. But as soon as Maharaj Rahugana heard his words, he could understand this is a very great learned person. Self-realized soul. But as one advances in devotional service, he can tell just by seeing. Prabhupada said, "Index is the face of the face is the index of the mind." So devotee becomes expert. Then he can preach according to time, place, and certain, according to where the person is situated. So the saintly person, he immediately recognizes Prahlad Maharaj has recognized him, and the saintly person has recognized Prahlad Maharaj. Yasya narayano deva bhagavan vidagatta sada bhaktya kevalaya jnanam dunoti dvantam arkavat. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulence, is predominant within the core of your heart. Because of your being a pure devotee, he always drives away all the darkness of ignorance as the sun drives away the darkness of the universe. Purport. The word bhaktya kevalaya indicate that simply by executing devotional service, one can become full of knowledge. Krishna is the master of all knowledge. Aishvarasya samagrasya birasya yasya sriyaha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanan videse arjuna tishtati. And when the Lord is pleased with a devotee, the Lord instructs him. Only to the devotees, however, does the Lord give instructions by which to advance further in devotional service. To others, the non-devotees, the Lord gives instructions according to the manner of their surrender. The pure devotee is described by the words bhaktya kevalaya. Srila Biswanath Chakravarti explains that bhaktya kevalaya means jnana karmade amistraya, unmixed with fruitive activities or speculative knowledge. Simply surrendering at the lotus feet is the cause of a devotee's enlightenment and awareness. So this immediately reminds us, as soon as we read this wonderful purport by His Divine Grace, we're immediately reminded of a very easy to remember verse, 10:10, chapter 10, verse 10. Isn't it? That Tesam satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvikam dadami buddham yogitam yenamam upayanti te. Krishna says, Tesam, to those, Tesam satata, always, yuktanam, engage, Tesam satyuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. They're doing my bhajan, but how? Priti purvakam, with affection. Not that we're just following some dry rituals, just like sometimes we're chanting our rounds like we're paying the rent. That's what I call rent-paying rounds. I also have trouble sometimes. You're just chanting them, no relish, no intention, just paying the rent. If I say chant 16, then I can stay here one more day in the temple. I call these rent-paying rounds. But bhajatam priti purvakam, we should chant with attention and affection. It's a great struggle. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. But we should always strive for that, to chant with attention and affection. Because Krishna says, tesam satyuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam jena mam upayanti te. Dadami is first person. Krishna says, I give. Krishna gives the knowledge. Dadami buddhi yogam ta. I give the knowledge by which yogam, they can link with me. Yoga means to link. So Krishna is giving. Because Krishna already told in Bhagavad Gita that no one can know me as I am. So why are we wasting our time here in the temple, chanting 16 rounds, following four regular principles, going to Bhagavatam class? We're just wasting our time. Krishna told nobody can know me as I am. Jai Sisi Gonitai Krishna Baldao Sisi Radha Shamsundra Lati Visakha Ki. So we're just wasting our time. Krishna told, even the great demigods and sages cannot know me as I am, so we should give up. No, this verse gives us hope. Because actually it is a fact that Krishna is ananta, unlimited. And we're finite, limited. And we're limited. Only so far we can go with our intelligence. But Krishna's anant, without any end. There's no end to Krishna's intelligence. Krishna's unlimited. So how tiny living entity who's limited, how he's going to understand the unlimited? It is impossible. So we're just wasting our time, is it? But because Krishna's anant, unlimited, he can do the impossible. It's impossible for us to know Krishna. But here Krishna says, Dadami, I give the intelligence. If the unlimited wants to reveal knowledge to the limited, he can do it. Who is there to say he can't do it? Just like the agnostic. He tries to be a noble sinner. He says, there may be God, there may not be God. Nobody can know. It's impossible to know whether there's God or not. So let me go on with my sinful life. At least the atheist is honest. He just said, there's no God, let me do my sinful life. Agnostic, he wants to appear a little noble. That I've investigated, and it appears that there may be a God, it's possible, but there may not also be a God, but no one can know. So let me go. He's being dishonest. Atheist, he's least honest. This is a humbluff. This Bhagwan is a humbluff. So, in other words, his position is nobody can understand whether there's a God or not. In other words, he's saying we can't know anything about God, but one thing we know for sure, God is unable to reveal himself. He's talking all nonsense, everybody listening to his nonsense, everyone buying his nonsense book, but God can't communicate. What is the sense? You understand? He's saying that nobody can know. Means God is unable to communicate himself. We know this one thing about God. We don't know anything about him, but we know one thing. He's unable to communicate. You can talk so much nonsense. Why God cannot speak? He can also speak. This Bhagavad Gita means song of God, spoken directly by Krishna. He can speak. And he will speak, but not to just anyone and everyone. This is natural. Just like if we go to Vrindavan and we go and pick him up with Dinabandhu, then we go back and just run up to someone on the street, look, this is the pictures. Huh? Look at the pictures, huh? We went with Dinabandhu and Prickhavud. We'd go and anybody on the street and say, look, here's, we went to Barsana, we went to Bandirban, it was Somavati Amavasya coming on 16th of this month. Huh? We just run up to anyone and everyone? No, to our friends. We reveal all our things. We go to our friend's house, they see, we went to Gokul, we went to Nandagam, we went to Brindakun. To our friends we reveal. This is natural. So if we become friend of Krishna, then he reveals everything to us. He's unlimited. Nobody can stop him. Nobody can say, oh, God cannot reveal himself. Who are you to tell? You can speak so much, so why God cannot speak? He can also speak. But you have to become friend of Krishna before he'll speak with you. Intimate things. Here Prabhupada says, for the karmis, he's engaging them according to their surrender. Somebody's after karma, somebody's after gyan. Here Prabhupada explains, there's a nice word there. Bhaktiya kevalaya. Kevala bhakti. Here the sense is that the kevala bhakti means only devotion. We're not interested in karma. Generally people come to the temple, they're praying to the Lord, please give me this, give me that, give me a job and a car and a house by the sea, Swami Jai Jagadish Hari. So this is mixed bhakti. We've come to the Lord, that is a good thing. At least we've come to the Lord. The mature world is advertising that we've got big shopping center now, shopping mall, to satisfy all of your desires. We have 189 shops to satisfy. What is the use of Bhagawan? You come to our shopping mall, we'll satisfy all your desires. So at least they've come to God. That is a good thing. They've come to God to satisfy their desire. But that is not pure bhakti. That is business bhakti. They'll worship the Lord, but you have to give me something in return. But pure bhakti means I don't want anything in return. Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, what is that? Jnana karmadya amisraya. Mistra, we know this word, we heard this word, mixed, means to mix. Jnana karmadya amisra. Just like Rupa Goswami has given the definition of bhakti. What is it? Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. Here he says uttama bhakti, the same thing. Kevala bhakti, uttama bhakti, same thing. Anya bilasita. He said, doesn't say without desire. The Mayavadis are telling us we should become desireless. Prabhupada says to become desireless means to become like a dead stone. Prabhupada said, if to realize God means to become like a dead stone, I do not care to know what is God. So he doesn't say that we should make all our abhilasha sunya. He says, anya, other than the service of the Lord. And of course, Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, that Bhanu Maharaj was explaining to us the other day, that if we call out for Krishna in distress, oh Krishna, that is not considered mixed bhakti. In an emergency situation, we call out to Krishna. But generally, other than the service of the Lord, we don't have any desire. Anya. Anya means other. Anya abhilasita. And we, abhilas we know. Just like we're singing every morning. Morai abhilas, bilas kunje diyovas. Some of us are thinking, singing like that. Some are, that my only desire is to get residence in the Bilas Kunj. Bilas Kunje Diyuvas. Though I hear some people are singing, Moraya Bilas, America Diyuvas. Nayane Haribo Sada Dala Ruparashi. But anyway, who wants to live in America anymore? You go to school and get shot. Useless desire. East or West, Vrindavan is best. So anya abilas. Abilas we know means desire. So any other desire than service of the Lord, sunyam, we should make that zero. Or as Prabhupada would say, jiro, with his beautiful Bengali accent, jiro. Anya abilasita sunyam. Jnana karmadi anavritam. Anavritam means to cover. Kevala bhakti becomes covered by desire for jnana and karma. Jnana karmadi anavritam. It should be free from jnana and karma. Anukulyan. It should be anukul. Anukul means favorable. Just like Kamsa, he was also thinking of Krishna all the time. This is our goal, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And Kamsa was like that. We've given the example many times. Even he saw his food, he saw something sparkling and shining, very colorful. There was nice tomato chutney red and carrot halva orange and Gauranga potatoes yellow. It was all very shiny and colorful. And he thought, oh, Krishna has come, Krishna has come. Kill him, kill him. He called the guards. Even now, you tell me truthfully, when you see that gulab jamun sitting in your plate, are you thinking about Krishna? But Kansa, even seeing food, he was seeing Krishna. But it was not anukul, it was pratikul. He was thinking how to kill this fellow. So bhakti means anukul, just like Krishna told. Bhakti priti purvakam. Priti means with affection. So Kansa, he was more Krishna conscious than we are, but that is not bhakti. That is not bhakti. Bhakti means anukul yena Krishna anushilanam. But generally in the mature world we see most people, religion means Sunday. And then only 1 hour. They go for 1 hour and then go home and watch the football game or the cricket game. But here it says anushilanam. Bhakti means it means constantly. Not that we just come to the temple for a few minutes, bow our head, and then we go home and forget. Anushilanam. It should be done constantly. Should be done constantly. This is uttama bhakti. Anya abilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. So this is our goal, to come to this platform of unmotivated devotional service. So this we're going to see in the next verses, how this person, he's simply absorbed in remembering the Lord. And if someone is sold out to the Lord, just like I think it's in Nectar Devotion describes, an animal who's been sold, he has no worry. He's been sold to some master, so now that master has to take care of him. So we are sold out souls to Krishna, why he'll not take care? And this man is this Brahmin is the perfect example. He's just lying on the ground. And somehow Krishna is taking care of him. He sees that he's very fat. How he's become so fat? Because Krishna is taking care of. One who's completely surrendered to Krishna, he becomes just like Prabhupada's name, Abhay Charanarabinda, one who's taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Abhay means fearless. Abhay means fear. Abhay Charanarabindam, who's taken shelter at the lotus, he has no fear. Everyone in this world is filled with fear. But one who's taken complete shelter of Krishna, Krishna's taking care of everyone. Why he'll forget about his devotee? He'll always also remember his devotee. As I remember in Los Angeles, Prabhupada was giving class. He's saying, so the karmis, they're envious. At LA Temple, we had so many Dodge vans and so many cars. Isn't it people, they're not doing any work and they have so many cars. People have to work very hard at two jobs. I met one boy one time, he had a nice car, but he had to work two jobs to maintain that car. To buy it and maintain it, keep up with the payments. He was working two jobs. He had no time to do anything. And we're not doing anything. We're just sitting on the street in front of Buffum's. You remember? Downtown LA in front, there's a big shop called Buffum's. So we would sit there and we're just chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Krishna's name. And we have so many cars. We have big building to live in. We have the nicest food in the universe. Huh? That's how I became a devotee. I was sitting there, it was a Jamashtami day. And we fasted all day to midnight. In those days we didn't know you're supposed to take a Ekadasi breakfast. We had full on feast, puri, halava, sweet rice, everything, right at midnight. So in those days, when you cooked a gulab jamun, it had to soak for 3 days. That was the law. Before you offer it to Krishna, it has to soak for 3 days. So this was a heavy-duty gulab jamun. It was sitting on my plate. And Bhavananda looked at me, and he picked up his gulab jamun. He said, "You know how to eat this?" I said, "No." And he took that gulab jamun, and he threw the whole thing in his mouth. And I thought, well, if he can do it, I can do it. So I threw this whole gulab jamun in my mouth. Boom. And all this sugar juice came out, you know. And I thought I made it to the spiritual world, because he said everything in the spiritual world is always increasing, increasing, increasing. He would preach to me like that. He knew where I was at. So he'd always increasing. I thought, wow, I made it. I'm in the spiritual world. It never was going to end. So Krishna's giving you this nicest food in the universe, nicest people to associate with. The devotees are the nicest people to associate with. Krishna is giving us everything. All we're doing is chanting Hare Krishna. So nearby, Abhay, we become fearless. So this fellow, he's just lying there, but he knows I'm always remembering my Lord. He certainly will not forget me. He certainly will not forget me. So somehow we're reading about this section, about this fellow, that he's very stout and fat. So this reminded me of one of my favorite deities on Govardhan. There was one fellow on Govardhan named Lauta Baba at Punchri. Punch means tail. So he's at the tail end of Govardhan. In fact, if you don't take his darshan, your prikama doesn't count. He's the one, Hajiri. He's keeping account of who did prikama, who didn't. So if you try to do a shortcut and miss him, your prikama won't be noted down in the book. The Lauta Baba, he's not eating anything, but he's very fat. Because what happened, he was friend of Krishna, and he decided one day to cook for Krishna. So he was cooking, and suddenly he looked up, he saw a chariot going by, being driven by good old Uncle Akrura. And both Krishna and Balaram were sitting on the chariot. And he called out, he said, "Oh Kana, I'm cooking for you. You please come take lunch." And Krishna spoke Amar Shabd, immortal words that we hear even today. Because he told in Bhagavad Gita, "Yad Yad Charity Shresas," whatever the great man does, the common man will follow. So Krishna spoke, "Just now coming." We still hear this today. "Yad Yad Charity," they're following their great man. He said, "All right, well, I'm not eating anything until you come. If I don't come tonight, then tomorrow morning I'm coming. Just now coming. All right, I'm not eating anything until you come. If not tomorrow, then day after tomorrow I'm coming. Just now coming. Abhi aayenge. All right, well, I'm sitting here, I'm waiting." And we see Lauta Baba, 5,000 years, he's sitting there waiting for Krishna to return. You just see the expression on his face. That he doesn't take any grain. Sometimes we see the devotees put pera, and sometimes he puts some fruit in his mouth, but he's not taking any grain, but he's still fat. So I asked the rich boy, "How is he so fat?" He said, "That is, he's fat by his Krishna prayam." He's fat just by Krishna prayam. So this is our Lauta Baba. He's called Lauta Baba. He's waiting to Laut Ana, means to come back. Kab Laut Aiga. Kana Kab Laut Aiga. So he's called Lauta. He's waiting Kab Laut Aiga, when Krishna will come back. And from him we can learn some determination. 5,000 years, you see his face. He's sitting there 5,000 years waiting for Krishna. So immediately remember nice verse of Lord Brahma. Tate no kampa susumikshamana bunjana evatmakrite vipakam. Ridvag Bhapabi Ridayam Namaste Jiveta Jo Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak. Tate no kampam susumikshamana bunjana evatmakrite vipakam. That anyone, Krishna's Lord Brahma is saying that anyone who goes on waiting for your mercy, Patiently. Tateinumana susumikshimana. Patiently waiting for Krishna's mercy. Patiently suffering. What is that? Sumikshimana.
Reactions,
suffering the reactions, vipakam, all those reactions, the paka, they became matured. He go on suffering the reactions of his past sins, but rid vag vapu. Rid means heart, and vag means words, and vapu means with his form, with his body. Rid vag vapu, ridyam namaste. He's always offering respects to you with his body, mind, and words. Suffering the reactions of his whatever past sins he did. He's going on suffering, but he's waiting for your mercy patiently. Jiveta, who lives his life like that. Jiveta means he lives his life like that. If you live your life like that, Jiveta, mukti pade sajaya bak. He doesn't say you'll get mukti, but where mukti pade, where that even mukti gets mukt. Daya bak. We know the word daya. Generally it means mercy, kripa. But in Sanskrit words have so many different meanings. Daya also means inheritance. Daya also means inheritance. So that place where even mukti gets mukti, that means the abode of the Lord, the kingdom of God, he becomes the inheritor of the kingdom of God. If one lives his life patiently waiting, and we can learn patience and determination from Lauta Baba. 5,000 years, he's waiting for Krishna's mercy. We're thinking, oh, I've been chanting for 20 years, 15 years, 30 years. When's Krishna's mercy? He's waiting 5,000 years, so patiently. Always, Ridvag Baba Bir, always offering respects to Krishna with his body, mind, and words. Jiveta Jo Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhakmak means to enjoy. He becomes the inheritor. Just like we know this word sampradaya, that we find daya also. Sampradaya means that our acharyas have kept a huge wealth of knowledge and devotion. And we join that disciplic succession, sampradaya. We inherit automatically by joining that sampradaya. We get so much wealth of information and bhakti. Sampradaya. In his comments on this verse, Srila Sridhar Swami, he gives a rhetorical question. He says, what does a person have to do to inherit the property of his father? What do you have to do to inherit the property of your father?
Stay alive.
The old man will die, then you'll inherit everything. So, this is our business. Somehow or other, we have to, by the association of the Vaishnavas, rendering service to the Lord, we somehow just stay alive, to keep treading in this, drowning in this ocean of materialism. Somehow you just keep your head above water, associating with the Vaishnavas, rendering service, chanting your rounds. Stay alive in Krishna consciousness. One day, mukti pade sadaya bak, you will inherit the kingdom of God. Hare Krishna. So any question or comment? Yes, way in the back. All right. Okay.
You mentioned that Anya Abhilas, any request from Krishna that is not grateful, it's like mixed emotional service.
The request from Krishna?
Yeah, Anya Abhilas, if you have a desire that you, if you pray to Krishna for some personal gain, then it's not pure emotional service.
Yes.
So I was just thinking about when Gajendra was in difficulty, he prayed to Krishna.
Who?
Gajendra, the elephant.
Yeah.
He prayed to Krishna for to save his skin, basically. He was in the jaws of the crocodile.
Yeah, well, I clarified that because this last year we were at Bhakti Sangam in Ukraine, and Bhanu Maharaj, who's very learned in all these things, he said in his Tika, Jiva Goswami explains, Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in great danger you cry out to the Lord. That is not considered mixed bhakti. Emergency situation. But generally, we just pray for service. Acha. Okay. Interesting. Yes.
Hello. When we are doing this walking and sitting and enjoying our programs and everything, the meticulous people they wonder what is Krishna Devi doing? We sit down, they are not working, they are not doing anything. Just yesterday in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare.
They don't do anything and they are enjoying and their faces are going like shining like anything. But still they don't want to join.
Yeah, that Prabhupada also said in that same, I was sitting there and Prabhupada said, yes, so then you tell them that you come join us. No, we can't join. Because they want to enjoy their sinful life. Because we have given up sin, we are able to just sit and chant and Krishna is taking care of us. But because they want to go on eating their meat and drinking and everything, no, we can't join. So then you have to work hard. Krishna consciousness is very simple. Prabhupada is simple living and high thinking. But for sinful life is very complicated. You have to open a big brewery, big machines, and you have to have a motor cars, we have to have a refinery spouting smoke into the environment, and your car is for simple life we don't need anything, but for a sinful life then you have to have huge endeavor. We can live very simply. So if there's no other questions, we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's engaged just in Kevala Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada ki.